This very special episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast is brought to you by Rich's Billiards, 5815 Weber. Not Your Average Heroes, the legend continues, and also sponsored by Emo Night. We're a few days away from checking out Emo Night live as it happens over at Rich's Billiards live this Saturday night. Get an opportunity to check it out. It's a $10 cover. Should be an epic night. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this very special edition of the Main Event Talk Podcast. And I know what everybody's thinking right now. It's Tuesday. Why in the world am I doing an episode now on a Tuesday? Well, big explanation. A lot of stuff happening within the next couple of days. And most of you guys have heard about the news. NXT is going to go through a dramatic change. A change which is going to be very drastic. And it's going to be interesting to see where all this is going to happen. Now, as this episode is being released today, this episode is happening before the actual change takes part. Now, just to give you guys a head start. Now, NXT is going to be, you know, doing the whole new vibe and everything. Obviously, it's still NXT, obviously, with a different coloration and everything. Samoa Joe is no longer the NXT champion. Most of you guys have probably heard about that story, just in case if you heard the last episode. We've been wondering exactly, like, what in the world is happening right now? Supposedly, and I want to get into more detail about this a little bit. Supposedly, Samoa Joe is not medically cleared to compete. Now, that's the stuff that we've been hearing in the past, since yesterday. And I got to say that, it's been 2 days, but it's been crazy. Samoa Joe had just became the NXT champion, defeating Karrion Kross on the weekend of SummerSlam, which was NXT TakeOver 36. And Joe hasn't wrestled in the past couple of weeks, and supposedly he's injured. Well, ain't that a fucking bitch, huh? And the fact that, you know, they're saying that it's that a statement or a medical release had happened. So, you know, to me, I think Samoa Joe, it wouldn't surprise me if Joe was injured or if he got hurt in any way possible. But it wouldn't also surprise me if Joe were to have his title relinquished because of the fact that they're going through with this new NXT. Now, as you guys know, this NXT is going to be structured under the supervision, if you will, of Mr. McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, and possibly John Laurinaitis. Now, where Shawn Michaels and Triple H and William Regal and others will play a role in this, I don't know. A lot of people are concerned as to what's going to happen with NXT. But I'll get into detail about that as we progress. The Main Event has always wanted to talk about NXT. I've always wanted to talk about the beginnings of this whole NXT thing. NXT's been around for quite a while. But NXT kind of started off as a ridiculous game show, in my personal view. So on this episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast, we're going to look back at some of the things that have been happening with NXT from the origins in 2010 to the true beginnings in 2012. So, with that being said, let's get started, shall we? February 23rd of 2010 was when NXT first came into the scene. I believe it was around that time ECW was going on its last link. there was really nothing left for ECW to accomplish. ECW was the third launching brand besides SmackDown and Raw back in 2006. And around that time, ECW was not exactly the version or the vision that everyone would portray to see ECW as. When I remember ECW a long time ago, it was the violent, their own version of what pro wrestling should be, you know. Like I said, it was full of violence and, you know, full of, you know, matches that meant something for more of an adult premium, if you will. And then, of course, ECW, at the height of its popularity, could not go any higher. And ECW was bought out back in 2001, around that time. And then ECW would come back to life back in 2005. And a lot of people would agree that when ECW's One Night Stand first came out in 2005, that should have been the hurrah, the hello, say goodbye, that's it, ECW no more, we don't want it. And then came 2006, when they relaunched ECW, when they brought back One Night Stand, Rob Van Dam beat John Cena, became the WWE champion, and then became ECW champion. And then they started to, you know, redevelop ECW and try to make it, WWE tried to make ECW their own version, which didn't fit. And it didn't fit at all. Even with Paul Heyman behind as a general manager, it still didn't work. Even when you had stars like CM Punk, Big Show, Kurt Angle, and others in that particular nature trying to help out this brand, it didn't go to its foundation, right? So from 2006 all the way down to 2010, there were several good matches, and then there were several bad matches. And then you had some proverbial stars that, you know, made something huge in ECW and then became even bigger stars in WWE, you know, Raw and SmackDown. And in 2010, ECW would come to an end, and then we would see the launch of something called NXT. Now, none of us knew what NXT was. We weren't sure exactly, like, what this show was about. Is it something new and fresh? Is it something different? And it turns out it was. Because from the beginning of the launch, all of a sudden you had this beginning where all of a sudden I'm watching this video, right? I wasn't sure exactly what to expect from NXT. It was a bit crazy to check out, but it was something that I was really looking forward to seeing, because it was new, it was fresh, it was much different from what anybody else would see. NXT from the beginning became something that would be truly special in most ways.
8 NXT rookies, 8 WWE pros, 1 dream.
Breakout star.
At that time, it was such a different vibe, because you had 8 different superstars, 8 NXT stars, and 8 WWE stars. NXT obviously means the next breakout star, right? And at that time, in the beginning of 2010, the pros at the time were like The Miz and Chris Jericho, CM Punk, R-Truth, and others of that nature that wanted to, you know, make sure that, you know, these guys were given the proper treatment, the proper, you know, send in to the WWE, right? But when I saw the beginnings of NXT, I immediately was not impressed. And it wasn't like I wasn't impressed with any of the stars. The NXT, the pros, like I said, were Jericho, R-Truth, and Christian, and others. The NXT stars were guys like Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan, Justin Gabriel, Darren Young, and I think a few others in that nature. Most of these guys I've seen before. And, you know, and this is kind of the part where it's kind of funny, where you got a WWE star, and this kind of started with Miz being a quote-unquote pro, and Daniel Bryan being the rookie. I found that a little bit funny because I've heard of Daniel Bryan. Or at the time, he was known as Bryan Danielson when he was in Ring of Honor. I've heard of the name of the American Dragon. He was such a phenomenal and tremendous athlete. No disrespect to AJ Styles. But when I saw these guys, when I saw who these stars were, I said to myself, okay, the roles must be reversed here, because I can see, like, I can understand Jericho being a pro, Punk being a pro, R-Truth being a pro. The Miz, no offense, he was more of a rookie than he was a pro. That was just my opinion of him. And NXT, from the start, you had these talented wrestlers, and all I could think of was, I can't wait to see these guys wrestle. And there was some wrestling involved, but there was more of, they had this whole ridiculous, they started putting him in, I guess, promo class, or, you know, try to teach him how to do a mic skills, and all these ridiculous obstacle courses, which I'm like, what the fuck is all this? What the fuck is all this? Why do we need this? You know, I wasn't impressed. It just kind of like, when I saw this, it's like, okay, NXT is supposed to be something that we can all look forward to checking out. I don't want to see this, because it just doesn't fit the bill. It doesn't. So NXT, you know, the first season was done. The winner of that was Wade Barrett. I immediately was just like, okay, what? I was impressed with the stars involved. I was impressed with the rookies. I was impressed with Daniel Bryan, even though he didn't really win that much as he could. Wade Barrett was an interesting individual, and I wanted to see him go forward. Darren Young had a lot of potential. Mike Taver, I think, someone that had potential and someone that could be something special. Of course, I think Ryan Reeves, who you know as Ryback, you know, because he came out in this season as well. The first season of NXT was pretty good, and then of course we know that the first season of the NXT guys would become a part of Raw automatically, and they would be placed in a position to where they're now full members of the NXT. Well, they would be full-fledged members of the Raw SmackDown roster, but they would become their own brand. They would be forming the Nexus at the time. And it was pretty good. It was a pretty impressive time when I saw the Nexus at the time, you know, destroying the entire ring setting. It was something I've never seen before. Watching the match with CM Punk versus John Cena in the middle of the ring, and then all of a sudden here comes Wade Barrett coming to the ring, and then all of a sudden here comes all the members of the Season 1 NXT, and they look like they're invading the entire ring, and they just demolished and destroyed John Cena, demolished and destroyed CM Punk, and then they went ahead and destroyed everything around them. They got rid of the announcers, they got rid of, you know, everybody. I still remember seeing Justin Roberts at the time when he was working with the WWE getting choked out by Daniel Bryan. And at that time, that caused a lot of controversy because Daniel Bryan was fired right after that. And then a few months later, or a couple of months later, he would be rehired by the WWE. So NXT's first couple of seasons with Sci-Fi, because NXT came out on Sci-Fi, on the Sci-Fi network, the first two seasons were okay. As I stated, Wade Barrett won the first season. The second season, Caval won on the second season. And Caval was a guy that would be, that everybody knows as Low Ki or Senshi, who came from TNA a long time ago. He was an impressive athlete, and I felt like he should have been given more of a chance, but I guess WWE had no plans for him, so they just released him right after he won. So that blew it completely right there. So after that, NXT did the third season, which featured the rookies of the Divas at the time. They would go ahead and, you know, featured the Divas on Sci-Fi, and they only had a couple of episodes on Sci-Fi before they would cut it off. So NXT was off television, but they would still show NXT on WWE.com. And to me, I was happy. I was happy that they did what they did, because it was just so crazy, you know, seeing, you know, watching the first three seasons. I wasn't, like, all wanting to see more of NXT. I just was done with them. Because while I was impressed with the new talent, with the new guys that they had, I still saw the obstacle courses, the mic skills, the promo skills. All that didn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen at all. I was not impressed. So I had stopped watching NXT altogether right around that time, because even though they were bringing in talent that I started recognizing and started looking at, they were just going to, I saw nothing special about it. Because I thought from the beginning that when they first started bringing in NXT, I thought, okay, we're going to see new wrestlers, we're going to see new talent, and we're going to see them wrestle. Now, if they cut promos and they cut some stuff, that's fine. I mean, as long as you get me hooked and say, hey, this is your star. Hey, this is the guy that's going to be. It's kind of like OVW at the time. And it was going to be something special. It was going to be something different. So they did three seasons of it. I think they did a fourth season. And then they did something called NXT Redemption, right? Now, I didn't see much of it, but supposedly this was supposed to be, like, they did away with the obstacle courses, and they did away with the whole mic skills and all that, and they basically focused on storylines, right? Which, you know, I saw some of it. I didn't see some of it from the beginnings, but I saw some of it on the WWE Network, and it was okay. But then something changed. This was right around 2012. Something was changing, and something was happening that I was starting to grasp upon. So I had often wondered, what changed NXT? What changed? How did it go from being a ridiculous game show in 2010 to it getting interesting in 2012? Well, at that time, it started looking like a third brand. You had an hour, you had these wrestlers that didn't have to go through any of these obstacle courses or any of these ridiculous trivia questions and all that stuff. They became themselves, which was the idea. These were talented wrestlers that came into the ring and performed and got a lot of attention and got a lot of buzz. So much buzz that NXT, around the middle of 2012, probably May or June, they started developing a new NXT, and it started getting a lot of attention. This was going to be a whole different new NXT, and at that time I didn't pay attention to it that much. But when I was watching it on the WWE Network, I was like, oh, okay. So it got my attention going again. Because while I wasn't impressed with the, like I said, with the first two, three, four seasons of NXT at that time, 2012 was when NXT truly was redemption. And they started changing, and it started becoming a different NXT. It wasn't about these game shows. It wasn't about these promo skills. It wasn't about any of those things. It was about getting these guys to wrestle in the ring and getting them to, you know, show something that would be different from anything they've ever seen. And some of these guys that I recognize, I remember one guy, his name was Derek, I think. I think one of them's name was Derek. The guy that that we would know as EC3. And then another guy who would be called Johnny something, but he would be known later as Fandango. And NXT started changing good, and it was so good. So good that even William Regal played a huge role in NXT as well. He was the guy that started developing matches, started making something big, and he started becoming... He was a pre-general manager before he actually became the general manager. So something was happening with NXT, and something was getting my attention to where we all were sitting back wondering, what the hell is next for this NXT? So NXT in 2012 started developing new stars, and NXT became exactly that. It became a developmental system. It became everything. All of a sudden, I started seeing all of these guys, some that I've seen before and some that were new to me. Chris Hero was one of them. He came out, but at that time, he was known as Cassius Ohno. And then all of a sudden we started seeing others like Seth Rollins making his appearance on there. And I started seeing Richie Steamboat, who was the son of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, started making waves all over the NXT. I never looked at NXT as WWE. That was the thing that I wish people would block out. And we all know, well, NXT is really WWE. But in reality, I think NXT should be its own entity, you know, without thinking about WWE. And in 2012, they launched the first NXT Championship, where they started developing all of these new talents and also bringing in some of the other talents that came from the WWE. Like, at that time, Jinder Mahal, he was involved. Drew McIntyre, he was involved in the tournament as well. Seth Rollins and Justin Gabriel and a few other names in that particular nature that made this NXT what it becomes. And then, all of a sudden, the NXT Championship will be on the line. Jinder Mahal versus Seth Rollins for the NXT Championship. And then Seth Rollins would be the first ever NXT champion. He would make a huge name for himself, not just in NXT, but he would make waves in the WWE. Because right around that time in 2012, there were so many things happening. NXT was starting to really be being looked at by so many. Seth Rollins was the champion, but he was looking to do more. And right around that same time when Seth Rollins was becoming the champion, there was also an upcomer, someone that was going to be a part with Seth Rollins sometime soon. And that individual was Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns played a huge role in NXT as well. Now, some of the things that I've never mentioned on here was the fact that NXT took place in the old FCW arena, right? FCW was called Florida Championship Wrestling. And at that time, that developmental system was around for quite a while. I would say from 2008 to 2011 is how long I remembered. And this would be the NXT that we come to know. Now, even though WWE had tried to develop their own stars with NXT, they also had a separate entity. They had FCW. They had Florida Championship Wrestling. At that time, they had Seth Rollins there. They had Dean Ambrose over there. They had Roman Reigns over there. They had all these stars that were new, that were fresh, that needed to be something special. And before you know it, FCW was taken away. It was taken away somewhat crazy by Triple H. And I think John Laurinaitis had something to do with it, right? So all of the NXT or all of the FCW stars would come and merge over to NXT to make NXT better, which they did. NXT, you know, the championship would be in Seth Rollins' waist. And then before you know it, a couple of months later, I think it was 2012 in November, all of a sudden, Survivor Series comes along. A triple threat match had happened with CM Punk versus John Cena and Ryback. CM Punk would retain the championship, but it would only happen because of the new group that would be forming known as The Shield. And at that time, Rollins was still the champion, but he was there. Dean Ambrose, who hadn't shown up in NXT yet, was fixing to coming, was there as well. And then, of course, Roman Reigns, even though he was slowly coming into his own, he became a part of The Shield. And these three men came from NXT and now came into the main roster where they were going to run roughshod over everyone. And it became a huge hit. So as the time progresses, tag team championships were being put together. And then you had the women's division being put together. NXT was starting to get the attention of every single wrestling fan out there. Not just the WWE universe, but every wrestling fan in general. Because from the beginning, NXT was a complete joke. Because even though you had these young and talented individuals, you also had some individuals that could be special, could be something unique in every way possible. And they became that. NXT was slowly becoming, you know, exactly what the future of professional wrestling or what the future of the WWE should be like. I was impressed. I was very, very impressed with what NXT was starting to become. Now, at that time, I really didn't pay attention to it that much. But they were starting to grow. They were starting to become big. So big that I believe it was 2014 or 15 when they first started doing their very first pay-per-view, which you could only see on the WWE Network. NXT TakeOver. TakeOver would be the signature launch for NXT, for the NXT stars, to develop, to make new stars appear before everyone. And it became special. It became very special. It became so special that so many people wanted to be involved with NXT. So many people want to find a way to help NXT. From the likes of CM Punk and John Cena and Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio. Everybody wanted to be a part of NXT, but not to be a part of the show. They wanted to help these new guys come up and help them develop their talent, become something special to the audience, and the audience would get behind them. You had wrestlers like Rusev who came up, or Alexander Rusev at the time. You had Antonio Cesaro, who was a part of NXT at the time. You also had guys like if I'm trying to remember correctly here, there were so many stars to think of at the time when it started developing. NXT was going to be huge. The Black and Gold brand had different commentaries, had different superstars, different people that would eventually shine. That would eventually shine, that would become something big. All the new stars were starting to line. They all lined up perfectly. All of a sudden, you looked at the list of people that were on there. Sami Zayn became something huge. Kevin Owens became something huge. Asuka became something huge. Paige became something huge. The women's division, they even had their own championship and everything. And it started becoming huge. NXT was getting huger. NXT TakeOver was the hottest spot in all of professional wrestling. And there was nothing that could stop NXT. Nothing. They had a lot of momentum. They had a lot of, you know, great things happening. And it just became such a huge deal. Nobody could stop them. It was tough to really see, you know, where it would go. We don't know how far it would go, but it was going to be something so special that, you know, we weren't sure where exactly this ride is taking us, but it's taking us somewhere that not even Raw or SmackDown can possibly do. And even though Raw and SmackDown were still the top brands, NXT was much better. Got bigger, and it started getting a lot of attention from everybody. NXT was the hot thing. NXT was the shits. And you would only see NXT only on the WWE network, or at the time it was WWE.com. The network didn't show up until 2014, and at that time they started putting together the shows. You could only see NXT for 1 hour. And that was one of the good things that was good about NXT. You could see the show for 1 hour. You could start seeing these new talents come together. You started seeing storylines that were so compelling that you just want to be a part of it. And you were grasped upon that TV or the iPad or anything, you know, just to check out NXT, you know, just to see what they do next. And it's amazing. It's amazing how far they've gone, you know, within the past few years. It was a complete joke from the beginning. And then all of a sudden, they started developing, they started changing, the right people were coming along. Dusty Rhodes at the time had helped develop NXT. William Regal was the was a general manager who has done a tremendous job with the show. There have been several people that have tried to make this show better. The one person that had a lot to do with what happened with NXT would happen to be Triple H. Triple H had played a huge role with NXT and has done extremely well with the brand. It's done so well that he has gone out and looked for talent everywhere. He was responsible for bringing guys like Shinsuke Nakamura around. He was responsible for, you know, bringing in some of the talented guys from, you know, he understood professional wrestling. That's what NXT was about. It was about professional wrestling. It was a completely different element. I was enjoying watching something that was different, because while people were watching Raw and SmackDown, you know, trying to scratch their heads about what the fuck they're doing wrong, NXT brings in something different. It brings in something different. Fans have tuned in to the WWE Network every time just to see this brand prevail, just to see this brand come up. And it came up huge. It came up so huge that people from other places, like, say, Slipknot were involved, Poppy was involved, every other person was involved for this NXT run. I still remember my very first takeover. The very first takeover that I saw was in 2000, I believe, 6 or 17, I think. I believe it was NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4, back in Brooklyn. I think it was either 3 or 4, I think it was one of them. But it was the one where I believe Asuka had defended her championship against, I believe it was against Ember Moon. And then I remember the ending of the TakeOver where Drew McIntyre went one-on-one against Bobby Roode. And Bobby Roode was, I knew Bobby Roode. When I heard about him being signed to WWE, I was like, wow. This was the guy that was the it factor of professional wrestling when he was in Impact Wrestling. He was the NXT champion. He had took the championship from Nakamura. Finn Balor was involved. He was the NXT champion. Samoa Joe obviously was involved as well. He did something else as well. Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, he became NXT champion. There have been several champions that have, you know, been the champion, have moved on, have gone forward to, you know, great greener pastures. The women's division, that has grasped on to so many levels. Not just the fact that Paige was a champion. You had other women like Sasha Banks, who moved on. Charlotte Flair, who moved on. Becky Lynch, even though she wasn't the champion yet, she would go on to do, you know, bigger and better things when she went to the main roster. Alexa Bliss, Bayley. The list goes on for that. The tag team division. You had a stellar tag team division. You had some of the best going. And it was amazing to check out. It was amazing to see all these great tag teams from the War Raiders, the Street Profits, whether you like them or you don't like them, the Ascension. There were the Valiant Brothers or the the Valentines or, you know, whatever. There are so many tag teams that I've seen in NXT. It's unbelievable. They defined tag team wrestling. They made it something special. And NXT would, like I said, expand. It would grow. It would become something huge. It would become even better. So we, you know, I'm watching Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode would lose the championship to Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre will hold on to the championship. And I remember that week, there were several stars that appeared at that takeover. I was watching the last episode of NXT. All of a sudden, I would see Bobby Fish appear, right? Bobby Fish would appear first, and then Kyle O'Reilly, who both were over at Ring of Honor, right? They would both appear in the middle of a tag team match. I believe Sanity was in a triple threat tag team match, and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly were dominating the tag team scene and were trying to, you know, I guess make some stuff happen. At the end of the night, they both came out again, but then they brought a huge surprise in Adam Cole. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been hearing rumors about Adam Cole signing with somebody, and this is 2000, I believe it was 2016 or 18 or something like that, or right around that time. It was such a huge vibe to see Adam Cole over there. The audience grew. The audience was getting bigger. The women's division in NXT was getting hot. The NXT's division there was getting hot. And the tag team division was getting hot. And as they expanded, they went ahead and grew even further by bringing in the North American Championship. So while they had the NXT Championship, the tag team titles, and the women's division, the North American Championship was like the signature. Like, it was basically like their version of the Intercontinental Championship or their version of the United States title. It's somewhere in that nature. NXT had grew to be something special. It has continued to become something that we've all enjoyed. And then comes the expansion of 2019, where something was afoot. NXT had got all this momentum, had got all this talent, has got all this potential, and is looking to be... It's already better than Raw and SmackDown at the time. But then something was coming up in the rise. Something called AEW. And NXT was looking to go to war with NXT. Or NXT was looking to go to war with AEW. And the thing was, this is a war they didn't want. But they were put in there because of the hierarchy. And it's so stupid how it's become, but it is what it is, and there's really nothing anybody can do.
It's not the future, it's the now. There's something special about the atmosphere. There's something special about the electricity in the air. It is the hottest thing going today, and absolutely nothing in this world compares to NXT.
NXT, put the house down, by the way. I'm always excited for the NXT group, guys and girls, who are at this level in NXT, but hungry to get to this level.
I love NXT. I've got so much talent down there, and that's the breeding ground. And that's where they're trying to create, you know, the next generation of superstars that will carry this company, you know, forward for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
Talent, courage, passion, NXT.
Once again, NXT tore it down as they always do. And I got news for you. They are going to light the place on fire.
Tonight, we furnish the black and gold brand's rep for delivering the hottest action in sports entertainment. And it's a brand new ballgame. And the carnage speaks for itself.
Right. death or 80, I'm gonna show you what I do, and if you know what I'm like, joy, my violence, more of the same. I can see where you're going, and I'm really ashamed. Do you think when you act, don't just act like you're thinking? I've got a new nail, you better tell me!
Bluetooth connected.
NXT is undisputed, baby.
War is here.
We are not your kind. 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 We are not your kind.
So now here we are in 2021, and things are looking to change, but the question is, are they changing for the better? That's the question. So recently, the Black and Gold brand has been doing pretty good for itself. And, you know, the last few individuals that were there, the NXT Championship had been held onto by Finn Balor, by Karrion Kross, and the last individual was Samoa Joe. So we've all had to sit back, relax, and wonder what was next. What's going to be the next target? What's going to happen next? And then comes this thing that we've been watching for the past few days. We weren't sure exactly what this was. So NXT is going through obviously a change of color, because I see it, and obviously a change of direction, because when NXT was, you know, when it started, it was a joke. Then it started becoming its own developmental. You started seeing all the new talent, you started seeing all these people. Championships were galore. The women's division was amazing. The tag team division was amazing. The championship, the NXT championship, was amazing. And then a threat came along called AEW. Now, while everyone can say that AEW defeated NXT, in reality, AEW hasn't defeated shit. Because let's call it like we see it, folks. NXT is still around. This is not like when WCW was in business and, you know, if this was easy and WWE didn't put WCW out of business, WCW would be existing right now. But no, WCW is gone and WWE still stands. Now you got this threat known as AEW coming in, pretty much changing everything for the game. Now, originally, it wasn't a competition, and it wasn't. It was never a competition from the start, because while you had some talented wrestlers, you had a few jokes in there. But as the years progress, AEW started getting better. AEW started bringing in some new stars. And yes, true, most of them are from the WWE. But they made some calculated moves. So calculating that you got now CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole, and others in that particular nature to help out with the AEW brand. So now, NXT is stuck in a position to where now they need to find a way to fix themselves. And then a recent development had taken place. A lot of rumors, a lot of speculation as to what really happened. So a couple of days ago, a message on Twitter or on Instagram from Samoa Joe came in. This is what the message says.
Hello, I'm NXT champion Samoa Joe. Upon my recent return, my goals were very simple. I sought to ensure the respect and integrity due to both NXT and its championship. I sought to ensure that everybody understood that the needs of one individual will never outstrip the sum of the brand. Today, I find myself having to stand on those principles. Recently, WWE Medical has informed me that due to certain injuries, they would like to have me step away from the ring for a brief, yet still indeterminate amount of time. I realize that this week we are on the cusp of a new NXT. We are on the brink of a new era in our history. And I realize that that era deserves a fighting champion. And that's why it makes this very difficult decision very easy to make. Effective immediately, I relinquish the NXT championship. Best of luck to those who will vie for it. My sincerest condolences to whoever wins, as I will be along shortly to recollect what's mine.
So Samoa Joe relinquish the NXT championship. And I got to admit, I wasn't exactly too surprised about that. But at the same time, you know, I'm kind of wondering, okay, where is this going now? Where in the world is this going to go? I mean, I've seen what NXT has done already. When I look back at NXT, when I look at how it was, NXT from the beginning was a joke. And then it got better as a brand. I started looking at this as a real wrestling show, right? And it was pretty good. I love what I see. But now, we're all wondering exactly where is this change going to go? How far will this go? There have been several releases in the WWE. I mentioned Adam Cole. And there are other names that have been mentioned through that have been And we've all been wondering exactly what's going to happen, what's going to take place, where do we go? So NXT now, we've got this new NXT logo, which obviously everybody knows about. We've got this, you know, thing about what's going to happen with this NXT. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that NXT is either going to look good or it's going to be a disaster. Now you have to think of who's involved with NXT now. Their new vision for NXT is under the guidance of Vince McMahon, who's producing this. John Laurinaitis is probably involved in some capacity. And then, of course, we got Bruce Pritchard, who's also involved in this as well. What exactly are they going to do? What exactly are they going to change? What's going to be different? It's mind-boggling to see what they're going to do with this brand. You know, I don't know what to expect, and I don't know, you know, how far this will go, and I don't know if this is going to be good or if this is going to be bad. I have followed NXT for a while. For a brief period of time, I've said that NXT was number one, and to me, it still is. NXT has always had some of the best talents, some of the best tag teams, and some of the best individuals. And the thing was, there really wasn't anybody that was considered a joke. Now, over in AEW, yes, I admit, AEW is now officially competition. Now, to the insane idiots and morons to say it's always been competition, no, it hasn't been competition at all from the few beginnings of AEW. But now with the additions of Daniel Bryan, and CM Punk, and Adam Cole, and others in that particular nature, and more to come, AEW is now becoming a competition. And NXT was yesterday's news to everyone else. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that there's a glimmer of hope. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that NXT is still going to be number one. Because all the firings, all the people that were released, where are they? They went ahead and released Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed, who to me could have been something that NXT needed the most, but didn't happen. And then they released Tyler Rust and Jake Atlas, who both competed in Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor just this past Sunday. They're still the best talents going. And then they release a few women, including Mercedes Martinez, who to me should be the next woman to be the next NXT Women's Champion. But they screwed that up as well. So what's next? What's going to happen? What can we expect from NXT tonight? What can we expect? Are we going to march into a beat of a different drum? Are we going to follow along with what Vince McMahon is going to do? All I can tell you guys is I'm looking forward to seeing what NXT is going to do. Are they going to rise and fall? And who will be the new NXT champion now that Samoa Joe is no longer around? I'm the main event player, the Super C. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on another great episode of the Main Event Talk Podcast. And don't forget to check out the new NXT tonight on USA Network. Why? Because I can and I want to. Any questions? Enough said. La música.
Down south slangin', we livin' too fast. Keep it true to self and never sell out where these busters. Down south slangin', we livin' too fast. Keep it true to self and never sell out where these busters. Down south slangin', rollin' with these hustlers. Try and get rid of all you haters and you busters.